to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. 844-967-2789. You text us at that same number. Sandy Williams is in the studio. It's Friday. You may wonder why I have a Sandy on Mondays and Fridays. And, you know, these days that are in between. And I think it's so important that so much is happening so fast. That, you know, here it is, the things that have happened since this past Monday, Sandy, with the way they're presenting this war. And there are other things going on. We don't just talk about war. But how can you not talk about this? Sandy, would you say this is probably the biggest war since Vietnam?
Well, sure.
I mean, Afghanistan and Iraq, those were, we just wiped people out.
No, for sure. And well, and it's a big war for the reason I said before, and I don't know quite why it's not right exactly, but European theater wars feel and look different to us than wars that occur elsewhere.
Yeah, this looks like
in the
what
world.
I saw in World War II.
This is like World War II. This is like World War I.
Right.
The weaponry is a little different, and you know, and it's not so different from World War II. It's more refined, a little more targeted, but yeah, I think that's why. I mean, I think it feels like that, and the other wars were south of the equator, you know, far away.
And we didn't see it. You know, they didn't show it as much. Yeah, I'm watching the buildings and the remnants of the buildings. And, you know, I told people I'm a guy who loves watching the old war movies. I watch them every time they're on. And World War II and those kinds of things. And the buildings and the destruction that you see, the tanks, you know, burn out and all of those things. And it's, you know, that stuff was kind of before my time. I was too young to really know. But this is today.
Yeah.
And it's the same thing, this inhumanity that we're looking at. You know, and it's in the early stages. And that's the real fear of this, Sandy. It's in the early stages.
It's in the early, and war gets worse. War doesn't get better. First of all, warriors get wounded. I was listening to someone on the radio this morning talking about if they don't get wounded by shrapnel in their skin, they get it in their soul.
Yeah.
And the longer people are asked to be in a war zone, the more they get dehumanized, and it's not their fault. You know, the biggest victims of war are the soldiers on each side. And
yet those are the ones who are like chess pieces on a chessboard.
Well, that's why they're victims. You know, they're actually all pawns.
Right.
And the pawns are the ones you can give away, and you're just protecting the queen and the king. You know, so you know, I think that's the horror of war. And we've got you know, the soldiers are pawns, and everyone else is collateral damage. And there's lots of collateral damage. And those pawns, even if they don't get taken off the board, they're never the same. You know, they're never the same after the war. We know people we see regularly,
right,
who have never been the same since Vietnam. Nobody who comes back from actual battles in Iraq is ever the same. People who live in the inner city and suffer essentially warfare down the block are not the same.
You know, Sandy, and that's why people should be careful before they send these people into the theater of war. And yet we're hearing more and more clamoring to do just that.
Well, you know, in a way, NFL football is sort of a metaphor for it. You know, we send people down there, the gladiators, to risk brain injuries that you know, caused Dave Webster and others to die terrible deaths in their 50s based on the brain injuries they sustained. That's like gladiators, you know. The Romans used to have gladiators to entertain themselves who were risking their lives doing this triumphant thing down there on the stage. So, you know, unfortunately, I think too many Americans think of war like the NFL. It's, you know, it's the NFL up a couple of notches. Well, it's up a lot more notches. And the idea of us getting much more involved in Ukraine and sending troops in is only spoken by people who aren't those troops, I'm confident.
You just took the words out of my mouth, Sandy. And the fact that wars are for young kids. Yeah, we sacrifice.
Well, we train warriors, and by the time they're done with training, they've been trained so well that they actually want to go into combat. But that's because they've been stripped of the thought process that allows them to think clearly about what combat is going to mean to them, and they become the member of a team that is team first. There's no I in team. The platoons in our military are extremely dedicated to one another to the point of self-sacrifice.
You know what I'm saying?
And that's training. That's not human nature.
But it's also the reason they take 18-year-olds. They're not gonna ask for Sandy Williams and Earl and then bring us in and get us to, hey, yeah, let's go. Hey, charge that hill. Let's go. You know, not people who, you know.
Well, what's interesting is that we might have trouble at our age thinking enough and being dedicated enough to do that for a war in another country.
Yeah.
But
right.
If the war was here and we were fighting to defend our children and grandchildren,
that's a different story.
I think we'd be first in line, up in front, sacrificing our lives so that they could live. So that's the fundamental aspect. Is it really important? Are we fighting for something really important? The Ukrainians are fighting for something really important. And
you said the Russians are fighting for something really
important. Well, the country is, but the warriors there maybe aren't as clear about it. They're the invaders, and they don't quite understand the geopolitics of it. And I'm not sure the geopolitics are absolutely realistic, other than in the minds of the people who are Putin and the leaders of that country, who have a worldview. You know, we must have thought that Cuba was that important in 1962, during the Cuban Missile Crisis. We must have thought that it was that important that we would have threatened the world destruction with the nuclear button because the Soviet Union was putting a base in proximity, 80 miles or 90 miles from Florida, right?
Yeah.
Well, Ukraine, well, it's Cuba.
I know. Well, and if you look at it from that perspective, which is the only way to look at it, that makes sense. But if people don't and people aren't aware, Sandy, your aptitude with all these things are superior to most because of the intellect and the things that you've studied. The average person has no concept, and it's one of the reasons why I think you're so invaluable to what we do here, is because of all of that.
Well,
nobody else is talking about it from that perspective.
Well, maybe it's the fact that I'm probably an atheist, but you know, liturgy is something that I'm not willing to embrace very quickly, and patriotism and the political liturgy that it involves is something that worries me a great deal, and it has ever since my adulthood has allowed me to look back at the Cold War, the thing we grew up with, to scratch my head and say, wow, you know, we lived under a specter that was in many respects an imagined issue. And the imagined issue created the real issue. And it was created a real issue on two sides of the Atlantic, in two of the biggest landmass countries in the world, two of the countries that have the biggest and created the biggest arsenal of nuclear weapons as the result of it. You know, the Russians got a nuclear bomb in 1949, very soon after World War II. And from that moment on, the treatment we were giving one another and the arm's length suspicion we were holding at one another too caused both of us to create thousands and thousands of nuclear weapons.
So how did we get from being allies to, you know, to arch enemies?
It didn't take but a nanosecond.
We've got to go to a break. When we come back, we'll continue the conversation. Sandy Williams is here. 844-967-2789. We'll be right back.